With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, folks, it's another episode of America's Hometown Horror that's brought to you yet again by Shine Through Window Cleaning. Shine Through Window Cleaning is a family-owned and operated company that proudly serves America's hometown and the surrounding area. They treat your home or business like they would treat their own, and they believe in building their reputation on every job they do. Get in touch with Shine Through today to discuss your window cleaning, gutter cleaning, and power washing needs at 781-812-9181. 81812-9189, or at their new website, shinethroughwindowcleaning.com. That's shine, T-H-R-U, windowcleaning.com. Shine through. Window cleaning.
Specializing in gutter cleaning right now.
Gutter cleaning right now, yes. Emphasis on the gutter cleaning.
Yeah, we're not washing your house. It's 12 degrees out, you psychos. Stop.
And I just have one question.
Where's my cake?
What is going on, folks, my friends?
Not too much. What's up with you?
Not a whole lot here either. My name is Mike. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of America's Hometown Horror. We appreciate you listening. And as always, if you've listened to any of our other episodes, you know that I am joined by my fellow co-hosts, Andrew.
What up, guys?
What up? And Kat.
What's up?
What's going on with you?
Not much.
Oh, is that back? I was hoping that was back. What's up?
I mean, they reboot everything these days. I'm surprised they haven't actually rebooted those commercials.
That's My Boy.
Oh.
No, it's also like Budweiser commercials,
well,
right?
Yeah, that's...
No, I know, but you ever seen That's My Boy with Adam Sandler?
No.
And the Scary Movie spoofs.
Really?
Oh, it's so good.
No.
They bring that up and one of the guys says, what's up? And then they all do it and he goes, is that back? I've been waiting for that to come back for so long.
That's awesome. I've never seen that movie, so I did not know that.
That's a top five Sandler movie.
Top five?
Maybe top three. It's up there with Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Really?
Waterboy.
That's My Boy.
Hubie Halloween. And I feel like I'm missing one, too. Big Daddy's a good one, too. I feel like...
Mr. Deeds
is phenomenal.
Not a fan of Mr. Deeds. Not a fan of Mr. Deeds.
The foot guy? John Turturro?
Yes. I like feet.
It's pretty sneaky.
Little Nicky's pretty good, too.
Yeah, but...
He's in a lot of good movies.
It's better than Hubie Halloween.
You didn't watch it.
I don't know about that.
It's not better than That's My Boy. You haven't seen That's My Boy, so
you haven't
can't comment.
Halloween.
You can't comment on it.
Fine. Then. Fair.
So shut up.
Fine.
I cannot scream the praises of Hubie Halloween more
I know,
than
you
I
love
already
that
have
movie.
Already, so I don't know what else to say.
Well, it's
at this
cool
point.
Because it has all the other people in it. Like,
yeah.
If you didn't.
Well,
know,
all Sandler movies have all the people
but
in them.
If you watched it cold without watching any other Sandler movies, then you may not think the same as you.
Who would watch that without having seen any other Sandler movies? Oh.
People do.
Children,
probably.
Children.
Yeah.
Yeah, not an adult.
Who knows? Maybe. Just give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Is that you breathing heavy?
No, that's a dog.
Oh,
no,
okay. Just checking.
On a
in case anyone
in my
was
hand.
Wondering.
So, guys, hey, we haven't had an episode with just the three of us in a few weeks now, so we're back to the three of
just
us.
Just the three of us.
Just the three of us.
We can make it if we try. Just the three of us.
Wow, we are so...
You, me, and I.
And I.
Are so lame.
But yeah, we back. It's, I'm not going to lie, it definitely was a little bit difficult to try and come up with some topics for November, because there's not really a ton of Thanksgiving-themed horror.
I have the next one, though.
Yeah, we might have something lined up that Cap thought
of. If there's
of.
A movie
might?
That you've never heard of and never
no.
wanted to
I'm
watch,
trying to
we'll
tease
talk about
it. I'm not going to give it away, but we might have something special lined up.
We do have something special lined up. You can tease all you want.
Is this movie available to watch?
Yes.
Well,
is it rated 2 out of 10?
I don't know. Let me get back to you on that. I'll give you some deets.
Thanks, Moira.
But so there's you know, kind of notoriously not many Thanksgiving-themed horror movies of note. I'm sure there are some out there, but when we were doing some research, it was tough to come up. But we
The Witch would have been a good one.
All it really took for us tonight was a movie that was released in November 38 years ago, and we were like, okay, let's roll with that.
One of
we were
the
waiting
greatest
to talk about
movies
that.
Ever.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie. So... Yeah, but before we kind of jump into everything that we usually do,
it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. That's definitely, it seems like an Amazon Prime movie, so we'll get there.
Yabbit? Is that related to the rabbit? Oh, you said Yabbit.
Yeah, but what did you think I said?
I was wondering if that was related to a rabbit.
No.
Yabbit?
Yabbit.
Who's translating Wabbit?
That's a joke.
Yeah. It's Wabbits. Oh, okay. Now I got you. I was like, wait, hold on. Wait,
that landed well short of the deck.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
But yeah, anybody watch anything spooky since we last recorded? Anything interesting? Anything cool? I know we've spent a lot of our time watching Kim's Convenience, which has kind of become our new obsession, which I love. Not horror at all, but very funny.
I've watched some terrible TV myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I finished watching The Good Place. That's not scary, though.
No.
I've been watching Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Talk about garbage television.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily blame anybody for taking a break from horror after October for a few weeks into November, which I feel like, you know, we've kind of done a little bit. We still have to finish The Haunting of Bly Manor, for Christ's sake. We didn't even get three episodes into it, and we kind of stopped watching.
It's good.
There's so much other shit to watch.
Are you sure it shouldn't be called The Haunting of Blah Manor?
That's what kind of the reviews have said. And I didn't think it was bad, the stuff that I saw. It hasn't really grabbed me yet, which I've had a few people tell me it kind of...
It's a slow burn, right?
Yeah, it's a slow burn, and like around episode like 5 or 6, it really starts to pick up a bit. So we'll have to get back on that. All right, so nobody watched anything. No big deal. Hey, so one thing
we watched stuff, and it's not scary.
Yeah, but not scary stuff. Nothing relevant to the horror fan, I would say. But one thing that is relevant to horror fans in the New England area. We were talking about Hubie Halloween earlier, okay?
Correct.
Yeah, we all know.
The scene in Hubie Halloween where he runs through that haunted house in Salem, quote-unquote.
Okay.
That was actually filmed at a place called Fright Kingdom in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Oh, I've heard of Fright Kingdom.
So Fright Kingdom, every year, and I think this is the coolest thing, they're the only local place that does, they turn their Halloween-themed haunt into a Christmas-themed haunt.
Oh, we tried to go to that last year?
We were going to go last year, and we didn't end up going, but they're doing it again this year. They call it the Fright Before Christmas. It's basically a Christmas, they deck out their entire haunted house Christmas-themed. Krampus, other scary Christmas type stuff.
So fun.
It's in Nashua, New Hampshire. Okay. They're only doing it one weekend, which is the weekend of December 4th through December 6th, though it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. And you can get tickets for $29.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. I'd go. That
and it's,
would be fun.
It's expected to sell out.
Are we asking for an invitation?
I would love an invitation, but I would also really like to
go. Worst case, we could do it next year.
Well, I've said that last year too. I would really like to do
it.
We would have to quarantine.
We're just throwing this. We're throwing this out there, but also we want to let people that might be interested in going to it know that it's out there. It's available. And
do you look at it?
I looked at it. So they have all the same safety precautions they did in October with social distancing and all that crap. If that's what you're concerned
about, but it's over state lines.
Well, yeah, New Hampshire is, I think, also very strict, like Massachusetts right now.
New Hampshire a low risk state right now?
It might.
Are they on the list? Or
I think they're on the list of safe states.
They might be.
I'm pretty sure.
Like how we have to check.
You have to go. Obviously, you have to go. You have to wear a mask. You buy a ticket online ahead of time, and you have to pick a time slot where you walk through.
So it's like
almost like what we did for that or for Spooky World.
I think we should do it.
I would love to do it if we can.
We can do it on my birthday.
We can talk about it after the fact. I just wanted to bring it up because it's pretty cool.
My birthday.
Nobody else does it.
Andrew
birthday treat. Well, I mean, it's your birthday.
My birthday is a Saturday night.
Do you want to tell all listeners when your birthday is so they can wish you a happy birthday?
They should.
Happy birthday.
I will be 23.
There you go.
It's again.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When is your birthday?
December 26th.
December 26th. There you go.
So is it open on my 26th? Birthday?
It is not. It's only open the first weekend in December. So December 4th, 5th, and 6th. So there's 3 nights that we can go and we can pick it.
We could try.
Let's do it.
Right. So, yeah, that's just a cool thing that's out there. If you're in New England and you want to do something spooky, if you're like us and you like scary stuff year-round, it's a pretty cool idea, and it's a pretty cool thing that they do. I love Krampus stuff. Obviously, our first episode was about Krampus.
Maybe that weird Santa Claus from the Tales of the Crypt trying to get in the house.
Very well could be. Very well could be.
That would be so scary.
Yeah, so that's, again, Fright Kingdom in Nashua, New Hampshire. You guys ready to hit some news real quick?
Yeah, let's hit the fucking news, dude.
So a couple quick things here. We haven't, I think, actually recorded in a little while, so there's been a few things that have come out.
Well, we just had an episode release last week.
Yeah, but we've recorded on weird times, which they don't even know that. I'll cut that out. But yeah, so there's been a few things that have dropped over the last week that I thought were of interest to us. The first one, I know I sent this to you guys separately beforehand, but...
Yeah, I didn't read it.
In more terrible... Yeah, okay, Turd Ferguson over here.
Larg Bergeson.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
In more terrible TV cancellation news, HBO has passed on a second season of The Outsider.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a major mistake.
That's... Terrible mistake. I mean, we all loved that show. We did an episode about it a while ago.
Was that show that poorly received?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of shows that have been canceled or
this is
going to
be one of those shows
like
that
maybe it's because of...
You know what's going to happen? Yeah. It's going to end up on Netflix 5 years from now.
Pick it up.
People are going to watch it and they're going to go, this show's great. And then they'll watch it. And then,
I mean, I can't believe people didn't watch that with that cast. And the,
people
the
are
Stephen
stupid.
King
people didn't
HBO
watch Mindhunter, like, apparently. Yeah, well, I think people didn't. He just doesn't want to do
that. I think maybe people just don't know about TV that's on cable now because so many people have switched to streaming networks.
Well, HBO,
like,
HBO's a little different, though.
That's its own channel.
But even HBO is different because not everyone
that's
has
not
HBO
on cable
either.
And
like,
That's not cable.
It's not cable and it's not HBO, but a lot of people nowadays stream services and they don't have HBO and they don't have cable. Yeah. So, like, that might be why they're getting shit reviews is because they're
I would think for, like, a premier channel that offers their own subscription service, like HBO, would have a little bit more prestige and a little bit more marketing and whatever for a show like The Outsider than... Obviously, somebody like NBC would have for Hannibal, for instance. Like, obviously, Hannibal was canceled a few years back, but I'm just surprised that they didn't pick this up because I thought it was very popular, it was well-reviewed, the critics liked it, and
it's not like it's Game of Thrones, though.
I know, it's not Game of Thrones.
It's better than
Game of
Thrones.
It's a much smaller
scale. No, it is not. Go away.
I feel like it's... Okay, wait a second. Before we go down this... Before we go down this road.
No, no, no.
It's Game of Thrones.
I've
watched enough to know that that show smells and it's overrated, and I don't care what anybody says.
It's kind of tough to compare the two because... Game of Thrones is on such a huge scale, and The Outsider is a pretty small.
Kat, don't you know I'm contrarian?
Yes,
Andrew.
No,
shut
but
up
I'm being honest.
Game of
I think Game of Thrones smells.
Yeah.
Well, Outsider, you didn't even watch
okay,
that.
Okay, so
you didn't even finish it,
Michael. If I had asked you though, I'm curious where you would land on this. What show do you think is better, Outsider or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones,
hands down.
It's lame.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Lame? No, you need to watch
Game
of Thrones.
Game of Thrones might be my favorite TV
turd.
Show of all time. I mean,
really?
The Outsiders
yes.
is very good.
I think less of you for that.
I think
oh
there are probably
God.
A few shows on HBO that were probably better than
I can think
the
of
Outsider.
A bunch of terrible shows that are better than Game of Thrones.
We can't even have this conversation.
Thrones better.
We would take over the rest of the
True
podcast.
True Detective better.
True
no,
Detective's
no,
better.
Let's just
Sopranos
okay.
better.
Let's keep moving.
Breaking
yeah,
Bad
we'll keep
is better.
Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately,
going down a
you
road
know,
that
this got canceled. Is currently being shopped to other networks, like we mentioned, so there's a chance that somebody could buy it and pick it back up, which I hope happens. It did end on a bit of a cliffhanger, which we won't spoil if you haven't seen it. Go back and listen to our Outsider episode after you have. But it did cover all of the events of Stephen King's original book, so there really wasn't any unclaimed territory that they didn't film yet. With that being said, Stephen King has written other short stories, I think at least two or three, that do have Holly Gibney. The main the most interesting character from The
she's
Outsider.
She's awesome.
So
she's phenomenal.
They could have continued it, something with one of those stories with Holly Gibney, and just called it The Outsider, even though the other stories were called something different. I don't know. I'd like to see where they go with this.
Holly Gibney, who may have the shine,
have the shine. It was implied that
so
she had
cool.
something very very similar. So yeah, to
the show's so good. I can't believe
do
that
you.
I
know.
Do it
you
sucks.
Think? I bet Netflix picks it up though because they
I
pick
so.
Up
I
a
bet
lot
you there's some
good
sort
shows.
Of restriction on that though.
Why?
Because HBO owned it.
Maybe.
Well, HBO's shopping it to other networks, so if Netflix were to pay the biggest
price
for it...
Why
then...
wouldn't... So maybe that's...
Because
they
canceled
it. First off, that's not a bad business model.
Right.
HBO's like, we're just going to make a bunch of shows and then sell them.
Yeah, like, hey, listen, this... the
And we don't have to do any of it. They just take the money and they run with it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like, hey, our production cost didn't equate to the number of viewers that we got, so we want
to
try and
Mike,
sell the property.
Would it make sense to you if that didn't get bought by anybody?
I feel like it would be a huge mistake.
You know what would be really upsetting?
So, but I hope Hulu doesn't buy it.
I was just going to say, you know what
would
be really upsetting?
It would be a very Hulu
That's
going to
be Hulu.
If there's a, if there's a, if there's a streaming Hulu. Network that knows how to run a Stephen King property into the ground, it's Hulu. So
yeah, that's the because Castle Rock would have been so much better if it wasn't made on Hulu.
I agree. I agree, for sure.
Hulu smells.
Speaking of another show that that was canceled too early, but might be coming back, Catherine. Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it was canceled, but it might be coming
So it was there were three seasons. It was canceled. So I don't know if you remember this, because we did watch it a long time ago. It did
but
end on a cliffhanger.
Not that long.
Andrew, I think this is the type of show that you said you would never watch. It's actually pretty good.
It has one reason I would watch it, and that's
Timothy Oliphant and his beautiful
he's
hair.
He's
so good in everything.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Great.
The Crazies, he's great in.
Great in that. He's
there's
awesome.
Where he's
did you ever
like,
see Justified, that show on FX?
I haven't, but
awesome.
There's another movie where he's like, stalking these couples on an island. He's like killing them.
He's also in one of the Scream movies.
Is
I don't know what movie
yeah,
that
that's
is,
what
but
I said.
Yeah.
He's so, also in The Mandalorian, the newest season.
I heard he was in season two, looking
such a stud.
Looking. He, dude,
looking
he has
like
one of
the
best heads
stud.
Of hair in Hollywood.
He
oh
was
God.
Actually in that movie with Alicia Cuthbert.
Who's Alicia Cuthbert?
Fucking babe.
Girl next door?
The girl next door. He was that
movie,
weirdo.
Yeah.
He played a good role in that movie.
Yeah, oh, he was like the porn director
yeah.
in that. Yeah, 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 that's right. Okay, I remember that.
She's so hot.
I haven't seen the movie in so long. The Girl Next Door, it's got like Emile
Hirsch
and Timothy Olyphant in it.
Who is a man.
I feel like if you
he was Into the Wild,
Into
the Wild
know.
Guy?
I've seen Into the Wild. I don't remember.
Yeah. I've seen
to,
it. Emile Hirsch, also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was Margot Robbie's
I
best friend.
I actually haven't seen that movie.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's
God.
So good.
Dude,
so
you, I feel like you need to go home right
I'm
now.
I'm just wondering
go watch
if Quentin Tarantino blows himself the entire time.
He kind of does, but honestly, it's great.
It's amazing. Actually, what I would say is, the ending is amazing. The rest of the movie is very slow.
Yeah.
The ending is worth watching the entire movie.
Every one of his movies now is like 8 hours long and it's boring.
Well, the, yeah.
It's,
the,
yes. And that,
basically,
that
you're watching probably the first hour of the movie to see Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt be buddies and just
yes.
be handsome on screen together. And you'd be like, wow, that
and
would be
awesome.
Such a sweet
They're
life to live.
They're beautiful people.
But then once it gets into the Manson stuff, it's fucking awesome. It's so good. It's actually probably my second or third favorite Tarantino movie behind Reservoir Dogs and probably Inglourious Basterds.
Not to try and cancel anybody. Because I would never do such things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can delete this if it's out of line. But we're going to go with it. Quentin Tarantino, racist maybe?
Yeah, he's kind of had that
he
criticism
uses,
leveled at him
he
before.
He uses that N-word a lot. Does he use that in what's
well,
yeah.
Spike Lee has been a big critic of his because he uses the N-word a lot in his movies.
Frequently.
And he doesn't really feel like that is justified
it's
because
not
it's Quentin Tarantino. And I, you know, I see Spike Lee's point for sure. So, yeah, I think the cancel mobs have tried to come for Tarantino.
Okay,
before,
I was just curious.
They haven't succeeded yet, so I don't know. Maybe someday it'll happen, but I don't know. Supposedly he's kind of getting close to being done making movies. He said he would make like 9 or 10 and then be done. And
be
once
done.
Upon a time in Hollywood was
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ninth movie, so.
Does he look like a Muppet to you?
He does. He's a weird,
oh,
weird
absolutely.
Dude.
He's a hairy
weird,
man.
Weird,
weird
looking
weird
dude.
Dude.
He's not that hairy.
I thought he was hairy.
He's just weird yeah. looking.
But since we're so far off the rails, to bring it back in, so yeah, Santa Clarita Diet might come back for a season 4, according to some sources.
So we went
that type
from,
of thing where Netflix might bring it back.
I love that.
Because we're talking about Timothy Olyphant.
Is that one season or two seasons?
Three. It was 3 seasons.
And it's a horror
Is it
comedy.
Like Ash vs. the Evil Dead?
It's horror
kind
comedy.
Kind of, yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay. It's like a horror comedy rom-com.
Basically, it's Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant. They're a married couple, and Drew Barrymore
ruined it.
She turns
Whoa.
Into an un-
Drew Barrymore.
She turns into everything. A zombie, and she has to start eating people. So they start murdering people for her to eat.
But like,
so it's a good.
It's
a
like pretty, a happy
it's like,
way.
It's like yeah. Let the Right One In.
It's kind of like that, but way more of a
vampire,
comedy.
Okay,
it's a comedy. It's a very gory
it's
comedy.
Amazing.
But,
yeah, it's really good.
Can I just express my hatred for Drew?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan
I feel
fan
like we've
either,
had this before.
She's got that sad fucking face that no one wants to look at.
I mean...
I'm just saying. It's like a it's, droopy... Right. She looks like Droopy Dog.
Yeah.
Going down,
you're
sir.
Sure, sir.
You're going down, sir.
I mean,
is she? Are we going to get sued for this?
No, we're
no.
not going to get sued for this. Whatever. She's probably hurt
I,
worse.
But I did love that show, and I would
I
love...
Did too.
I would love another season. That
Me
be,
too.
That would be great.
Yeah, it was a good show. I actually really liked it a lot, and I wish there was more of it. So
but
I'm on board for another season.
I'm like,
so.
It's like a horror comedy, or what do you call it?
It's not even a horror, really. It's like a
rom,
gore, it's like a gory comedy.
a rom-com with gore.
With horror elements. Yeah. I don't know.
But it is, I mean, they find people's bodies in freezers and whatever, and yeah, there's a lot of blood. So, I mean, it's definitely not for the faint of heart either, so.
Yeah, but Andrew, you with Timothy Olyphant, you would like it.
Tilly Olyphant. It's phenomenal in everything he does. I would never not watch something with Tilly Olyphant.
Tilly Olyphant.
That's his new nickname. I wonder if he likes it. He probably hates
you
that.
Tilly Olyphant. Cheers to you, brother. Hey, final piece of news before we move on to our topic of the night.
You're looking at me, so I'm nervous.
So Universal just announced recently, today, I believe.
Hollywood Horror Nights.
Nope. Oh. They are rebooting. So we've talked about this a number of times before. Remember the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies?
Yes.
Okay.
They did one of those.
They already did.
They did a couple.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. No.
They did several.
Hear me out. Reboot with Tom
Scorpion
Cruise.
Scorpion King?
Stunk. Well, that relates directly to this. In the Mummy Returns, Dwayne The Rock Johnson appeared as the Scorpion King, and he went on to do a couple of spin-off movies where he was the Scorpion King. Universal is rebooting the Scorpion King with Dwayne The Rock Johnson producing a new movie.
Is Jason Momoa going to play the Scorpion King?
I feel like that would kind of be perfect casting. There's been no casting information, but
it should be Jason Momoa.
For me, I saw this, okay, and The Mummy is one of those movies, the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
It's on TV a ton.
I will watch it. I will never turn it off. Sorry, you were saying.
It's got that Egyptian-looking
woman. What about the guy that played, like, Khal Drogo?
That's Jason Momoa that he just said.
I don't know his name.
Khal Drogo.
Aquaman?
See, that's why I'm like Game of Thrones reference. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, if anyone looked like a Greek god, it's that
guy.
Oh,
it's him. 100%.
Anything that involves.
I mean, he's chiseled from granite. He looks like a fucking, like, he's insane looking.
Oh, he's the guy.
But
yeah.
What's so good in those Brendan Fraser movies is, well, Imhotep.
Imhotep.
That movie are awesome.
Hello, Brendan Fraser in that movie is a fucking badass.
And they're all good. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says.
I love them all.
I love them all. They're so bad. Yeah. They're so good.
I wasn't as much of a fan of the Scorpion King movies. I didn't see the first one. I didn't see any of the sequels or anything. But,
so you didn't see any of them?
In The Mummy Returns. No, I saw the Scorpion King, the original Scorpion King movie. I didn't see any of the Scorpion King sequels, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I didn't see the sequels to the
but,
Scorpion King.
But the original appearance of the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns, some of the all-time worst CGI ever that you will ever see. Look up the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns, and it looks absolutely terrible. Like Mortal Kombat Annihilation level bad of CGI. But yeah, so I'm excited for this one. All right, guys, so that means we are on to our topic du jour, the topic of the evening, which, as we alluded to before, is Creepshow. Oh, I am so excited to talk about Creepshow right now.
I am so excited to talk about Creepshow.
I had to preface this whole thing by saying, are we doing Creepshow 1 or Creepshow 2?
We've already went over this.
I think Creepshow 2 is better.
We will get to that. We are talking about the original Creepshow movie, but there will be space to talk about all of the Creepshow sequels, TV series, everything else that's come out about it. So
just
we're
when
just going
to
talk about
to me,
the main...
I think 2.
That's weird.
Comes
I
to
think
my
of
mind.
Creepshow when I say
well,
Creepshow.
Well, I think of Bedelia, you bitch! Like, but that's... Head
Which
Harris.
One is that? That's in Creepshow. The first
that's in
one.
Creepshow 1.
Oh, I know.
Yes, that's so. You say when you say Creepshow, you say Creepshow 2.
I was contradicting myself.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
Well, as I mentioned before, so you know, November it's a little tough to come up with ideas sometimes. So all I had to see was a tweet from our friends over at Fangoria that, as of this recording, 6 days ago, so November 12th, 1982. 38 years ago, there was a November release for a little movie called Creepshow, which has a lot of talent behind it, and it's one of the great horror anthologies of all time, a personal favorite of myself. So yeah, we're going to talk about Creepshow and everything related to Creepshow tonight, so stay
Woo-hoo!
Tuned. Hey, so as I mentioned, you know, Creepshow is a personal favorite of mine. Andrew, I know it's a personal favorite of yours as well. I've always been a fan of horror anthologies, always been a fan of short horror stories. So this is right up my
alley.
Real
quick question, just to start off, where does this stand in your anthologies of all time?
For me, I think it ranks among the greats, and I would consider some of the greats to be like Trick or Treat, the VHS series, Southbound, Ghost Stories, which came out a few years ago, and I think it probably is my favorite, I think.
It's what got you into...
Right, so...
I feel like this movie is so far ahead of its time, yeah. And it's a shame.
I feel like, so, this movie and also, like, the HBO Tales from the Crypt TV series probably got me into anthology horror when I was a kid. Because both of those things, well, Creepshow came up before I was born, but the Tales from the Crypt series was running in the 90s. So
I'll tell you right now, anthology-style horror is my favorite type of horror.
Yeah, I love it. It's
I like it more than any type of horror movie.
I completely agree with that. I mean, it gives you the opportunity to kind of not cram the... That's not the right word, but adapt several different stories that have several different tones.
Because in general, a horror movie
or
has...
Across one movie or TV series
a horror movie
or whatever.
Could last 20 minutes and get the gist.
Exactly. Some horror stories aren't made for an hour and a half movie. Sometimes they're best as a short film or a short story. I think
because that's what's so horrifying about it.
Exactly.
Because it's quick, it's to the point, it's succinct.
And sometimes some of these movies have a cohesive theme, like some like Southbound, or sometimes they're more separate
segments.
Southbound's
my favorite.
Yeah, Southbound, I know you love that one, but...
I don't know what about it, but it just gives me that eerie feeling.
But like I mentioned, I think one of the reasons that this movie is so great is the talent behind it. I mean, it's directed by George Romero, and the screenplay was written by Stephen King.
It came
out in 1982, the peak of both of their careers, arguably. So it was a huge release. And... You also have Tom Savini doing the special effects.
You also
one of
have
most famous special
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Ed Harris. Hal Holbrook.
Who's the other guy with Ted Danson at the end? Not Leslie Nielsen. It's the other guy.
Which guy?
There's Ted Danson.
Ted Danson and Leslie Nielsen are in the same segment together.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a weird segment.
Yeah. I mean, this also is, you know, has a very big influence from the horror comics of the 50s and 60s, like EC Comics, which...
Oh, the intro to it's so good.
Oh, it's great. I love the comic book stuff.
It's great.
It's great. And, you know, I actually had some horror comics growing up that my grandparents got for me, like some of the old Tales from the Crypt type stuff. I also had some, like, horror-ish, like, Swamp Thing stuff, so I was a fan of these as a kid, so I feel like I was kind of drawn to this. This, like, drawn to this very easily. This is the type of movie where if you're a kid... The comic book kind of stuff can draw you in, even though it's a very R-rated movie. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a scary movie. As a kid, it can probably be scary, but it just have some frightening stuff in it, some stuff that can make you squirm a little bit. And, of course, features one of my all-time favorite movie monsters that I selected in our monster movie fantasy draft, Fluffy the Crate Monster. So,
oh yeah,
love this movie. So, sorry. I know I kind of rambled on a little bit there. Ramble on. Kat, what did you think of Creepshow?
I thought it was awesome, honestly, because, like, I liked the difference between, like, the drawing and, like, the realistic portion. And, like, you know, I'm not, like, usually a person to watch older movies. You know, I'm more of a, like, the time, like, Saw, Texas Chainsaw came out, like, a little bit further on and, like, the whole...
Those are a little old.
They're a little... Maybe now, but like...
But they're not 80s old.
Maybe now.
Like 70s, 80s.
Well,
I mean,
now's what matters.
But you know what? I do appreciate, like, the older movies more because, like, I actually hate, like, the new movies. They look too fake to me. Like, so many special effects and stuff. That actually annoys me, and I appreciate the older movies even more because they're so much more realistic, which is why I liked Creepshow was because it seemed like the way that it was shot and stuff, like, it seemed like it could happen to you. Like... The people didn't look fake. They looked like real people and did real things, and they were in a house and they were in a set and stage. Like it all, it felt real versus like things that like happen now and like.
It has nothing to do with that. Here's the difference: is what you're thinking. It's the quality of the video. I feel like horror movies should be made in cheaper quality film because it's that grainy. Not even that grainy. It's just that. It's just a different...
It makes it feel more real.
Yeah, it like feels more real because it's old.
Well, overdone. Which is why I like the older It versus the newer It, because I feel like the newer It is way overdone.
Okay.
And the older
I can give you that.
Is much more realistic. Like, it could happen in your bathroom that, like,
realistic.
Blood could boil from, like, the drain, but not blood spill up and, like, totally coat the entire bathroom.
Why is there blood in the drain to begin with?
For what's her face?
No, I know, but you're
Beverly.
Talking about
Beverly.
Something that
I was
doesn't
say Elizabeth,
you're talking
Beverly.
About a series of events that doesn't make any sense in any universe.
Yes.
Because blood is bubbling out of a sink.
It's a movie right. about a cosmic clown like, that eats children.
So this is where I'm leading.
Why is you're talking blood about in the sink the big thing for
no,
you?
No, but she's
I'm
also
so
saying,
sick of hearing
she's
about
also
this.
Saying that it's more realistic. It's never realistic. It's blood coming out of a sink. Nobody's bleeding into the sink. They're standing over it. Why is there blood bubbling out of a sink?
More importantly, there's nobody bleeding underneath the sink and causing the blood no. to go up and shoot out. It would
so
never happen.
So your whole
happen.
Point is
Either
irrelevant.
Way, it's fake.
You lose. Game over.
God.
You're bringing up things that wouldn't happen in any situation.
Okay, hold on.
You know what's more Wait. Realistic? That terribly edited 80s version of a fucking long story on CBS. You're insane. It's the most okay. insane thing I've ever heard. Can we stop bringing that up?
I agree. I agree that practical effects are better, and sometimes the older version of shooting of movies is better for
Always.
These types of movies, okay? One thing that's an example, okay? When the scares come in for this, they kind of show the characters like in a comic book panel with like the bright red or blue background. It's a cool effect. And it
I love
looks,
it. I think it looks awesome.
It doesn't look like anything that has come out recently, or there obviously have been movies that have ripped it off. Trick or Treat, I would say, paid homage to it a little bit. I wouldn't say ripped it off, but a very similar style of movie, an anthology that has comic booky
right.
elements, right? Which we already talked
yep.
about. So yeah, I can obviously understand because I prefer practical effects and special effects to CGI. Everybody does, especially when CGI is overdone, and I agree with that. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We've already talked about it numerous times.
And you're wrong 100 times over.
You are 100 times
I
over.
You lose.
To continue this?
The acting, the screenplay, the writing is all better in the new one.
I will just... I
so you're wrong.
Concede for now.
So just for reference, because we actually already did another horror movie from 1982. Can anyone name what it is?
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nope. We haven't done Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is it... Ooh,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Nope. It's
nope.
Poltergeist?
Came out in the 70s. Poltergeist!
Ooh!
You saw my screen.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yep, Poltergeist came
you're
out in 1982.
No, I
so
didn't.
We've...
He had his fingers up there. How would I
You
know?
Are a poltergeist.
So, yes, good call. Poltergeist also came out in 1982, so I won't spend too much time on the other movies from this year because we already talked about them at length in the Poltergeist episode. But yeah, the biggest ones of note, Poltergeist, The Thing, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Andrew, and also Friday the 13th, Part 3.
I told you Friday the 13th.
Part 3.
Yeah.
Still. Okay.
I guess that's
something. I said something. I mean, that's half answer.
I suppose that counts. So a few quick facts about Creepshow before we kind of jump into our categories and run through those.
Okay.
As I previously mentioned, this is directed by the great George A. Romero, who did Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and The Crazies. Not the Timothy Oliphant one, the original Crazies that came out in the
Have 70s. You seen that movie?
Of course I have, yeah. I've seen both.
So
I actually love the remake a lot.
The remake's really good.
Yeah, the remake is, I think, better. One of those
much better. The original
one,
was
one of those few movies where the remake actually is very
the original is too
well
boring
done.
And weird.
Yeah, I like all of a sudden you're like the remake better.
Yeah, myself. That initial scene in the baseball field, so good.
Great. Yeah, and the so obviously directed by Romero, screenplay written by Stephen King, as I also mentioned. So two of the segments, The Crate and The Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill, were based on Stephen King's short stories that he had already written, and then King actually wrote the remainder of the stories for this movie directly. Pretty cool.
Pretty good.
Only difference there. So The Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill was called Weeds. That was the original Stephen King story.
Nothing to do with the...
nothing to do with the TV show.
TV show.
Nope, just with all that stuff. The film, obviously, with we were talking about comics before, is an homage to the EC horror comics of the 1950s. That was the biggest company that was producing horror comics back then.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so Stephen King and George Romero both grew up reading these, so they wanted to do something together that kind of paid tribute to those types
to
of comics.
The older comics. And
exactly.
Like, but it's kind of cool that like we're watching it today with like their version of like an older comic. Like, so it's kind of cool to see like their
it is cool.
perspective of like when they were older, like reading comic books and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, like, so Tales from the Crypt, which we already talked about, and the other ones were called The Vault of Horror and The Haunt of Fear. Those were the most popular EC horror comics back in the 50s. So basically, in order to give the viewers of the movie that comic book feel, Romero hired Tom Savini to replicate those comic-like effects, not only for practical effects, but also for the intros, all that type of stuff. Here's a little fun fact for you. So Billy, who is the little boy in the opening and closing segments with the asshole dad, who is played by Tom Atkins, who has been in a ton of 80s shit. That's why God made fathers, babe. God made.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fathers. That guy. That quote. What a douchey quote. But anyway, his son, the boy, is played by Joe Hill, who is the oldest son of Stephen King.
In the kid at the beginning?
The kid, yes.
The very beginning.
The very beginning.
Is Joe Hill.
Stephen is Joe Hill.
Who wrote all... Yep. That's the him? Really? Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Yep. I didn't know that. Yep. I like that.
Stephen King's oldest son.
The kid that's
course,
whispering, like, I hope you die.
Yep, yes. That's Joe Hill. So obviously, you know, Joe Hill has gone on to become a pretty successful horror author in his own right. He's adopted a pen name so people don't automatically know that he's Stephen King's son. I've read a few of his things. They're pretty good. He's a little bit more weird than King is, which is saying something.
Cool, yeah.
But he wrote Nosferatu, that TV show that we watched for a while.
It.
It was all right. It's okay. The TV show was all right. I didn't read the book, personally. I've read a lot of Joe Hill's
really
short stories, and they're pretty good. They're out there. But yeah, so that's Stephen King's son. And it actually kind of came full circle because, so, let's put a pin in that, actually. So Joe Hill is the little boy in the beginning. Obviously, this movie has spawned multiple sequels and spin-offs, okay? Movies, TV shows, comic books, that type of stuff. There was obviously Creepshow 2, the movie, which arguably might have the best segment of the entire series.
The Raft.
Which we'll touch on. Yep, The Raft. Creepshow actually had an unofficial third movie that was supposed to be Creepshow 3, but... Actually
Tales
ended
from
up
the
being
Dark
Tales
Side?
From the Dark Side, the movie. Yep.
So good.
Yep. They actually came out with an actual Creepshow comic book right after the movie came out back in 1982, so there was a comic version of it. And, most relevant now, there's now a TV series reboot on Shudder, which has an upcoming second season that's going to debut in 2021. So I mentioned, obviously, Joe Hill being in this movie before. So... the TV series Shudder is run by Greg Nicotero, who does all the special effects
for
on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicotero's first special effects work back when he was getting started in the business was on Creepshow. It was the very first job he had in the film industry working with Tom Savini. And now his career has kind of come full circle a little bit, and he's now running the Creepshow TV series after working on that movie. So which is funny because now Nicotero is running that after working on the first movie, and Joe Hill's writing stories for the Creepshow TV series after being in the movie as a kid. So, kind of a weird little circle of events there. All right,
like
so there's also been the Creepshow series on Shudder. They've also done some animated specials. I talked about the Halloween one a couple weeks ago. That was pretty good. They're also doing a Christmas special. It's coming out on December 18th. So lots of spin-offs. And lots of cool stuff happening with Creepshow, even still to this day. Andrew, you were mentioning before that there are lots of well-known, respected actors in this movie looking very young. You know, we talked about Ed Harris already. There's a very young and very coked-out 80s version of Stephen King in The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill, acting like a total backwoods hick weirdo. Leslie Nielsen.
He looks like one.
He does. And I think he tried to ham up that performance a bit there, but... Yeah, Leslie Nielsen, everybody knows him. Ted Danson, Hal Holbrook, Adrienne Barbeau, who was John Carpenter's wife. And E.G. Marshall, not looking young, but he's playing the miserly germaphobe Upson Pratt in They're Creeping Up on You, the final segment, and arguably the creepiest out of all of them, I guess, depending on what your fears are. Just, we were just talking about Upson Pratt, the old guy from They're Creeping Up on You, right? So
the Bug Man.
How about them cockroaches, huh? Oh my god, the bug man indeed. So gross. So watching that movie, you can tell those are real cockroaches in certain scenes.
Oh, it's
right?
Disgusting.
It's fucking gross. And apparently, they actually hired an entomologist with the American Museum of Natural History named Ray Mendez. And they this guy provided 20,000 cockroaches for that segment. 20,000
cockroaches,
which I guess they got from Trinidad. Also saw on my my favorite program of all time, Bravo's 100
program?
Scariest Movie Moments. This ranked it, I think it was in the 90s or 80s in the Scariest Moments. Basically, Tom Savini was talking about how to actually acquire the cockroaches where they would go to Trinidad. And the cockroaches essentially live in bat shit, bat dung. And they would dig a hole in the bat shit, and they would turn the lights off for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden these holes would fill up with cockroaches, which they then grabbed and brought to the set.
Can I bring up a small point that may be overlooked?
Of course.
In this? Did this perhaps lead to the amount of cockroaches that are in the United States? Because Lord knows, after they did the scene, they weren't collecting these cockroaches afterwards. They probably escaped.
I don't know how they got them out.
Went on to have babies. I doubt that they did.
They might not have. They probably didn't get all of them.
They probably just let them leave, and then that's why.
I guess, one of the things that I had read when I was looking stuff up about this movie is that the original vision Stephen King had for Upps and Pratt's apartment was like this kind of like cozy penthouse that was like with a rugs and stuff and like, you know, rustic furniture and stuff. But they had to change that for the movie because it wouldn't have worked with the cockroaches. So they actually had to make that set so his apartment looked almost like a hospital room or something like that.
Well, he said it was germ-free.
Correct. So they actually had to set it up that way so they could get all the cockroaches out of the set. Because I guess, you know, they would dump the cockroaches on set and then all of a sudden they'd dump them out, they'd be gone.
Well, it's probably
in the walls.
An ant farm.
You know, set pieces and
they
like
probably
phones,
gone as soon as
everything.
It happens.
Oh yeah, which is just disgusting.
Like, so they didn't collect all of them.
Disgusting stuff.
Which is exactly what you just said. They just contributed to the cockroach population in America.
Yeah. It's like releasing murder hornets.
Right.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this led to cockroaches in America, or at least they probably were already here. At least it led to some sort of an outbreak. But
a different type of cockroach. You said they were from Trinidad.
Trinidad apparently. Is
so they should never have been here.
Yeah.
Right.
So
correct.
These
Great.
Are the big ones too. Like you see some of the.
Oh, they're gross.
Obviously, credit to the actor E.G. Marshall,
are
who had several.
Are they the flying ones?
No.
I think they're like the hissing cockroaches, like those gross ones, like the big, disgusting, gross ones. Mm-hmm. Like, I get chills thinking about it.
It's like, you ever see those, like, centipedes or millipedes
yes.
in Amazon?
Mm-hmm. Nope, no thanks. No thanks.
Gross.
No thanks, with giant bugs. But the final segment, so where it shows basically him in his room where all the cockroaches come out of him, and there's, like, a couple of feet worth of cockroaches, like, in his hermetically sealed bedroom. It shows just like a layer of cockroaches. They actually, a bunch of them, there were a lot of real cockroaches in there, but actually used nuts and raisins to kind of make it look like there were more
that
of them
sense.
And stack it up. So, yeah, Tom Savini had said that on a behind-the-scenes type
Tom movie. Savini.
Wow.
Absolute.
And Tom Animal. Savini makes cameo as one of the garbage men in the prologue and epilogue. With
wow.
Because at the end,
oh, I know the
when the you know the dad the asshole dad throws the Creepshow comic out into the trash, he looks at the voodoo doll ad and he sees that it's already been ripped out and sent for, and one of those guys is Tom Savini. So pretty cool. He was
wow.
Did the special effects and he was in the movie. Last little fact: if you're a Stephen King nerd, you will notice in the Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill, as soon as the segment is about to end and the. The disgusting weeds have taken over all of Jordy Verrill's farm. You see a sign for Boston. I think it was somewhere else, New Hampshire, Nashua, maybe Portsmouth, and Castle Rock. All on the same sign. So,
yeah, that
very
was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, pretty cool little Easter egg if you are a Stephen King fan, like I am. So, but obviously there's the Castle Rock TV series that we've talked about quite frequently. You guys ready to talk some categories?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. First, as we always lead off with, do you think this movie's scary at all? I think it's more funny than scary for
no.
me.
No, I mean, it has scary, like, elements to it.
Sure.
But, overall, not scary. Like, not gonna have, like, nightmares.
Correct.
Over it.
I can see this as a kid. If you saw it, it would be pretty scary because there's some frightening stuff.
There's
some of the practical effects, like with the zombies in the first couple segments, and obviously we'll get to the monster from the crate, but then the cockroach stuff. There's some stuff that can trigger some of your phobias,
the beach
for sure.
Stuff,
yeah,
that's kind of
claustrophobic
scary.
Type stuff. Yeah, that actually probably is the scary. I didn't even think of that. Probably the scariest part for me is because I have a touch of claustrophobia, but like being buried up to your neck in the on the beach
in sand.
My god, that would be horrible.
From the tides rolling in,
right?
Yeah. And I feel like you were trying to argue last night we were watching this that you could easily get.
It?
I don't know.
Is this going to be the debate?
I don't know. You tell me. But you were saying you could easily get out of that. That was like, there is no way. That turns into wet cement once the water comes in.
No. Because if you, like, if you bury your feet in the sand, let's say. If you're at the shoreline.
Have you ever been buried up to your neck in sand?
No.
Have you? So then you don't know.
No, listen.
When you're a child, you do things. And
yes, but it's the same thing as if you're standing on the shoreline talking to someone.
No, it's not.
And if you stand there for a long period of time, it's hard to get your legs out because you're not moving. If you move the entire time.
If it's your whole body up to your head?
Yes.
No,
you can get right out. Honestly.
Have you ever done that?
It's a fact.
You're lying.
It's like quicksand. It's the same thing. If you move... You'll be able to move the sand. If you just stand there, you're cooked. You're done. Because then you're just, like, cementing it further into you. Like, it's just getting firmer by the minute. But if you're moving it, when you start to move it, you start to be able to
You get a little bit of wiggle room, sure. I understand that. But I don't think it's... I just don't think it would be as easy to get out of it as you were portraying.
If it's wet sand, no.
I feel like he would have been able to get out of that.
It would be very difficult.
You've never been in that situation. You're referring it to your feet. That doesn't
maybe,
count.
Maybe
because you have more leverage
I
for your entire
be
body.
In the sand.
Well, we could try that this summer. I would love to bury you in the sand.
Okay.
And see
Let's
what
do
happens.
It. Let's
All right.
Do
well,
it.
I guess we'll see. We shall see. And we'll leave you there while the tide comes in, too, and freak you the fuck
and
out.
And then we'll go, oh, you couldn't get out? You're dead.
You're dead. All right.
Yeah.
Fair. Let's do that. Play
Sounds
it.
Like a
Next
game.
Summer.
So obviously, this type of movie, it's kind of tough to talk about a favorite scene because with an anthology like this, like we did with Trick or Treat, you kind of have to pick apart or pick your favorite segment, I should say. And this one is divided into five different segments. Technically, you could say six. The prologue and epilogue being one. The first one is Father's Day. Then the lonesome death of Jordy Verrill. Something to tide you over. The crate. And finally, they're creeping up on you. So six. You got six total ones. So I ask you, Andrew, do you have a favorite segment from this first creep?
I've
movie?
Always liked the Father's Day one.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's something about that old guy that just hits home. So good. And
okay. All right. So let's
Ed Harris is in it. It's
Yeah. Ed Harris is definitely like,
they
you know.
To the graveyard.
It's funny
good.
Seeing an actor of Ed Harris's caliber in this type of movie.
But it's early in his career.
It is very early in his career.
He has a
full head of hair.
He still looks like he's going to be bald, though.
Yeah,
point.
For sure, for sure. So yeah, okay. So talk to me about Father's Day. Why is this your favorite one? Like, what
know.
About it do you like?
I just
it's obviously one of the most comedic of the segments.
It's just funny. It's like realistic in a funny way. It's not. It's just I don't know what it is about it, but it's just like
yeah,
everything that said the old guy's the best. Like he's so insane.
I mean, I dropped the line in the
it's
ad read, but
Father's
the
where's my cake? It's Father's Day. It's just.
It is
so,
pretty funny.
It's so cornball horror to the fullest that it's so good.
It
sets the tone
so,
for
like one
what
of,
an anthology series should be.
So you nailed that because it's perfect for a horror comic themed story. A lot
As
of those
movie,
were
no.
not necessarily supernatural to the, for the most part, but a lot of them were like revenge based stories,
yeah.
which was. A lot of, like, what the Tales from the Crypt TV series was about. There weren't a lot of monsters and stuff like that, but I still liked it, even though hashtag Mike's Monsters. But there are a lot of stories about revenge and just kind of people getting back, like murderous type things. So, yeah, I can see that appeal there. It definitely is a throwback to the original horror comics.
It was the
best.
That
type of stuff, yeah.
I feel like it was the most appropriate way to lead off any anthology.
Yeah.
Like, it just... It engulfed you immediately because it was so cornball, but it was so good at the same time. Like, it had
yeah.
every element that I would like in my... I'm also an anthology whore.
Yep.
So, to me, that's just how it should start.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, it definitely gets off on a good foot. Catherine, did you have a favorite segment that you'd like to talk about?
Yes. I really liked the beach one, whatever that one was.
Something to Tide You Over.
Something to Tide You Over. Because it kind of mixes the whole element of, like, a realistic situation where, like, you know, someone cheats with someone else and, like, someone's trying to teach them a lesson and it's, like, this guy that has a ton of money and, like, owns this whole island and he's, like, no one can hear you scream and he sets him up and, like, it's, like, he's, like, okay, I get it, like, you know, but it was such a realistic situation. Like, you're kind of believing in this whole thing as it's happening and then he actually is, like, getting into a hole, I'm gonna fucking just cover you with sand and wait for the tide to come in. And by the way, here's the monitor of my cheating wife who's also drowning and you can watch her die.
Yeah,
and she doesn't know you're watching her. And it's like, it's crazy because I know like Mike said, he's like, oh, the next segment, because we just watched this last night. And like, I'd never seen this movie before last night. Like it didn't even look remotely familiar. And I was just, he said, like, quickly, he's like, oh, it's like his, you know, this guy who finds out his wife's cheating on him with this other guy and, like, how he kind of teaches them a lesson. And I was like, oh, he teaches them a lesson. And I was like, oh, he really teaches them a lesson.
Yeah, you're gonna
like,
drown.
Teaches them the ultimate lesson. Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, oh, no, he really teaches them a lesson. My God. But I liked that segment the best.
That is a great segment.
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen's phenomenal.
Yeah,
oh my God, he's
Leslie
awesome.
Nielsen
dance
playing
too.
Against type, and it kind of accomplishes. I talked about this last week when we were talking with Hannah about Hellraiser. It accomplishes the feat of making it where there's no clear good guy in any of this, right? So, like, is there anybody that you're rooting for? I mean, I suppose
no,
like
you're just rooting
not
for
really.
Leslie Nielsen. Like initially, you think, okay, this guy is cheating with my wife, and I found out about it, but then he proceeds to kill them both. So
right.
There's really nobody likable in the whole story.
It's Poe horror at its best.
It really
is. You're rooting for death. You're not rooting for anyone to win. You're just rooting for someone to die.
It's kind of like
right.
The Cask of Amontillado a little bit. Yeah, that type of story.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's a very good. I never even thought of it like that.
Wow.
But you're absolutely right.
Look at you guys.
Nice job, Andrew. Nice job.
I try. Introspective.
All right. So there's something to tide you over. I mean, is there any question to what my favorite segment of this movie is?
You want the crate.
The crate.
The crate is great. Love the crate.
Yep.
Love the crate.
Love
huge
the crate.
Fan of the crate. Love the crate.
Who doesn't love
I hate the crate. I want the TV back from the crate. Seinfeld reference for all you nerds out there. But yeah, obviously, you know, the crate is awesome. I love monster stuff. This has one of the all-time great practical monster effects of the 80s, I think. It's a lasting design. It's kind of, you know, it's very iconic, the fluff.
He's like the Bumble.
So he's kind of, yeah, he's supposed to be like, well, in the actual segment itself, they call him almost like a Tasmanian devil, which I feel like is a good description for him, but he was recovered from the Arctic, so he's definitely supposed to be some sort of like a Yeti or like an abominable snowman type thing, but he's very small. So it was just kind of cool to see something that scary, that small,
he's just so small,
fit into that crate. And this provides probably, I think, the best gore gags of the entire movie and the best monster effects, obviously. Cause
I think
really
it also leads into other shows. Like, for me, this episode is very similar to the one in Tales of the Dark Side with Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
The mummy.
Yes.
One.
Yep.
It's very similar.
Yep, very similar.
But it's so good. And
it is very
thing
good.
Is so creepy.
And I love
yeah.
also the aspect of, like, you know, it kind of... So it's obviously, it's the longest segment of the entire movie, and it kind of has that build-up with Hal Holbrook's character, and my God, and his annoying bitch of a wife.
Oh my God, I know. She's
God,
awful.
She is just the worst. And you can kind of see, like, it shows him, like, picturing in his mind him killing his wife in a couple of different ways, and then he actually finally follows through with it, and it actually works out. And you wonder if it works out in the end, because it's implied that the creature escapes, so the creature is still out there. So I feel like this is prime sequel material. What's actually funny about that, when Greg Nicotero decided that he wanted to do the Creepshow Shudder series for, the Creepshow series for Shudder, I should say. Bleh. He initially wanted to do a prequel to The Crate that was the Arctic expedition that found the monster and put it in the crate,
cool.
Which I think would be so cool. And apparently he couldn't get the rights to do it for some reason. But I would have loved to have seen that. I would love to see more of Fluffy the Crate Monster because that is my favorite segment of this movie.
Oh, wait, so Fluffy the Crate Monster is that guy?
That's Fluffy the Crate Monster.
Oh. Why don't you write your own screenplay then?
I could.
If you want it to happen.
Well, that would be purely fan fiction because nobody would ever make it happen unless it was.
I really appreciate your pick more now after seeing Creepshow because I've never seen Creepshow.
Great Monster.
So
Great Monster.
I think that that's. I forgot that you picked that
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Aww,
I can't believe that you
love Fluffy.
I can't believe you've never seen this.
Love Fluffy.
No, I didn't.
Any beefs with any of the cast in this at all?
No,
this is
really
the story that matters.
It's an anthology. There's way too many actors. Nobody really bothered me that much. The only one I could kind of think of was maybe the second professor from the crate, not the one that was married to the bitch, but the other guy that basically found the crate to begin with. He was kind of a nerd.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's a random person to be mad at.
I can't get too mad at him.
The other guy might have been kind of flat.
Fair enough.
But
any nitpicks about this movie? Anything bother you about it?
The color of the blood.
Color of the blood. Okay.
Yeah, the color of the blood was very.
Is that a metal band?
Red.
Yeah, it would actually make a good band name. Yeah, the color of the blood.
Yeah, it was very red. It didn't look very realistic. That's my only.
Well, I feel like they didn't really film this in a lot of sunlight, too. A lot of the blood was in, like, comic book panels, so it would probably look darker.
And no, it looked brighter. Like, for me, it looked really bright red, and I was like...
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I have no nitpicks, because I'm not a fucking Karen.
Obviously.
Oh, wow!
The one cat nitpick was the fact that you'd be able to get out of that, buried up to your neck, you'd be able to get out of that.
Oh, yeah, I would love to see you try. Why don't we try that? I would get out of there in a heartbeat.
My one nitpick?
The beach is right up the street.
Yep. You want to do it?
I'd love to watch
right,
you ground.
Let's go over to Long Beach right after this. Let's see what happens.
Let's do it tomorrow.
It's cold out there. You sure you want to go to the beach?
I don't think you want to.
You may have hypothermia and just die from it.
No, it's going to be a little warmer. We can do tomorrow.
Hey, your call.
My one nitpick is how much of a prick Upson Pratt is to. He expects everyone to wait hand over foot on him, including the guy that's at Disney World that basically is like the building owner or whatever, and he tells him to hop on a flight to get back to fix his fucking whatever the fuck. Leave Florida and come help me because I'm a fucking selfish prick.
Oh, yeah.
He's just such a total asshole. But that's
that makes you want him to die more.
Yeah, like who would actually realistically expect that aside from maybe Upton Pratt, that fucking prick.
That's not even a name.
I know.
Right.
It's a fake.
Upton your ass.
Upton your ass, Pratt. You guys have a favorite death in this movie, Andrew?
Hmm.
I mean, think about that for a minute.
The tide coming in.
Yeah,
the drowning. That's pretty.
I think that's pretty rugged.
That's pretty
honestly,
awesome.
I might suck in with Andrew with that because especially I'd say either or the woman or the man because like the man has a different death.
The fact that they dragged a television out there.
Yeah,
it's not like it's a smartphone.
I wonder if that technology was actually available back in 1982 when they filmed it, or in 1981 whenever they actually did film it. I wonder because
it was a TV with a long plug.
A TV out to the beach.
But it had a plug.
Yeah, well, he had like an extension cord. He must have had a generator hooked up to it or something,
exactly.
Right?
So yeah.
I guess it's plausible.
It's a long extension cord.
It's plausible.
Cord.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's plausible.
It makes it that much more intense. Like you didn't just throw someone's phone out there.
Exactly.
You dragged a TV that you plugged
and you
in
had
all the way down to the beach and then buried them.
Yeah.
That's so
That's
intense.
A particular level of sadism that is craziness.
Like,
so, and also too, I had read that, so it showed that shot of Ted Denson's head underwater, like when the tide was supposedly like coming in, and I guess they put him in like a scuba suit that you couldn't really see to accomplish that shot because it actually showed his head like underwater. So you're like, holy shit, how the fuck did they film this? At least I was wondering that last night, so... All right, so you guys are both in agreement that that's your favorite death.
Yeah, that's probably the best. Though.
You know, I think so. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna go with that too.
All right, fair enough. So honorable mention for me is again Upson Pratt getting these cockroaches ripping out of him his face and his chest, and that's disgusting.
That was really gross.
So yeah, that is probably one of the most memorable. But I got to go with my boy Mike the janitor, who unfortunately discovers the crate under the stairs, and then all of a sudden he sees the eyes, and he thinks the glowing eyeballs are like rubies, and he sticks his arm in there, and the creature bites half of his arm off. And in the struggle, the crate flips over, and he's laying there like half unconscious with half his arm bitten off. And then Fluffy the creature grabs his head and pulls him up into the crate and eats his entire body. Like, it's like his head, then his shoulders, then his stomach, then his legs. And all of a sudden, it's just like nothing's there, and his feet are just like hanging there. Fucking
That's pretty eating. Awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. I think that was...
You may win.
Probably one of my favorite. All the Fluffy kills are great. All three of them. So that would be it for me. Hey, so we talk about haunted attractions, right?
Yes.
I feel like Creepshow is pretty good for that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the crate you could do easily.
Yeah. Well.
You could do a different room for every scene.
You certainly could. And it turns out they did. So this is actually very recent. So last year at Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood, they turned Creepshow into a haunted house.
Really?
Yep. So it was featured alongside...
The first one?
The first, so actually, well, I'll get to that. So a couple different things about Creepshow. So they did a house that was the logo and imagery from the TV series, but they also did three scenes from the classic Creepshow movie. So they did Father's Day, they did The Crate, and they did They're Creeping Up on You with two segments from the Creepshow TV series. So the movie and the new TV series were both represented in the haunted house.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. You can see a walkthrough of it on YouTube, just like everything else that Halloween Horror Nights does. It's pretty good. The Fluffy stuff with the crate was awesome. They're Creeping Up on You stuff with the cockroaches, not so good. But the Father's Day one was really good, so really? You would actually really like that. And the stuff they did from the TV series was pretty cool, too.
Wait, so you can watch that online?
On YouTube, yeah. You can watch all the like the walkthroughs. They're like point of view with like people carrying cameras around.
And you just go to YouTube, like Halloween Horror Nights, Hollywood.
Yep. Just type in Halloween Horror Nights Creepshow, and it'll pop right up.
Wow. Yep.
So, it was featured at Halloween Horror Nights last year alongside Stranger Things, the Universal Monsters, because it's Universal Studios, Ghostbusters, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Us...
Nice.
House of a Thousand Corpses, and many other original concepts as well.
Cool.
So, could be a very good haunted attraction, was a very good haunted attraction. Hopefully it'll be a very nice haunted attraction in the future.
Great.
That was tough to say.
Nice.
It sounded like it. Mm.
All right, last category, MVP of the movie. Catherine.
I don't feel like that's a fair question for this movie, because it's not... I mean, would you do one MVP per segment?
Who won the movie? No. Who was your favorite character or favorite monster or
like
favorite person from the movie?
I like the skeleton man that's the creep. Always in the creep.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually what I had down for maybe one of mine, too.
He
I was up between a few different
MVP
people.
MVP because he's always showing up.
Yeah, like, he's the one that kind of floats through. He's in the prologue. He's in the epilogue. He's in the TV show. He's the creep.
MVP, he's
it's
the
his
MVP.
Show. It's creep show. Yep. So, yeah, I can see that.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with... the greatest segment, the greatest thing from all of them, is the raft. I'm going Creepshow 2. I'm going to jump outside of the first one, go to Creepshow 2.
Well,
the
I had something about Creepshow 2 up next.
The raft is it the, just the way they die in the raft. It's like
we're not
like
talking about that one,
so good.
Andrew.
It's so good, though. It's better than all the rest. Better than all the rest.
Nice.
It's so good.
So your MVP is from Creepshow 2, The Raft.
The Raft.
I respect it. I respect going on.
Creepshow 1, Creepshow 2, The Raft.
Fair. I mean, I had the creep as a potential MVP down. Fluffy, I feel like, has to be mine.
Yeah.
I
mean,
that goes without being said. I kind of already talked about that. But also, Jordy Verrill, Stephen King's character, I feel like that has
pretty
to be
good.
Consideration as well. He's just...
Yeah.
I Stephen mean, it's King. Terrible acting, but it's so stupid and so over the top that you almost kind of have to respect it.
He did an amazing job.
Yeah. He did a great job playing a backwoods idiot main
His
hick,
son was
which
good
is
too.
What he wanted to do.
Because he kind of is.
So I saw a quote for this, by the way, that he said he based his performance for this role as Jordy Verrill on Wile E. Coyote.
pretty fair.
Yeah. So it seems seems interesting. So, all right, Andrew, you're chomping at the bit to talk about this. So you kind of already did talk about the raft a little bit. We can talk about the raft here and anything else. But thoughts on the sequels to this movie or any of the TV shows or anything else.
I like Creepshow 2 better.
Just because of the raft. The other two segments aren't as good.
I don't know. They're more succinct. I feel like it's less is more. I don't know. I like the second one better. Maybe that's because of the raft and only that, but I feel like it's better.
The raft is an awesome segment, and it's very, very good and very creepy and very gory, and it holds up very well. Yeah, so Creepshow 2 obviously is good because of the raft. The other segments, I think, are okay.
The Indian
I am very much a fan of the Creepshow TV series on Shudder. I thought the first season was very good. The animated special that came out for Halloween was also very good. I'm interested to see where they go for season 2, and there's a Christmas thing coming out, like I said. So I'm kind of a Creepshow fanboy. I've kind of seen it all.
I'm a fanboy.
I'm a creep. Creep on you.
All right. I think we've exhausted all we can on Creepshow right now. Unless anybody else has any final thoughts on Creepshow as a whole before we put a bow on this bitch.
I have some final thoughts.
Go ahead.
I really appreciated, as a designer point of view, the integration between like real life and comic kind of art. I thought that was really cool.
The art design was great. Very good.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. I appreciated it more than I thought I would. Like, I mean, older movies, I kind of go into a mindset of, like, I'm watching an older movie. It's going to be kind of cheesy special effects at some points. But, like, these ones I feel like I appreciated a little bit more. Like, I thought that I just kind of was, like...
High quality.
I really thought that, like, I was like, it wasn't high quality cheese.
No, it's high quality cheese.
It was kind of high quality.
It is actually high quality cheese.
I mean,
it's like Gouda. It was
nice cave aged.
It was
cheddar.
Nice. It was a nice cave aged cheddar that, like, I really appreciated though. Like, I thought it was cool. Like, you'd have like, it integrated.
Yeah,
it
the fucking crate
really
monster
nicely.
Is the cheesiest thing I've ever seen, but it's so good.
But
it's
you
so
love it because so you love so it good. Because of. What it is.
It's quality, though. It's quality cheese.
It's awesome.
That is what I would call analysis you can only get on this show.
Quality cheese.
Creepshow is like a quality cave-aged cheddar.
Yes.
Cave-aged cheddar, my friends. Which, if you've never had that, it's fucking delicious. It's very good. You should check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, you know, this movie is great. We wouldn't be talking about it otherwise. We should probably go back to talking about bad movies at some point.
I will find a bad one.
You know, Creepshow is the type of thing where if you've never heard of it or if you've never seen this movie before, if you watch it and you like it, which I don't know why you wouldn't like it.
Do you like
there's
anthology
so much
horror?
More. Yeah, of course.
Then watch it.
I actually do. I feel like I
that's
like
the
it
best
a
type
more.
Of horror.
This
yeah.
is the type of thing where if you like this movie... There's so much other Creepshow shit that you can watch that will pique your interest.
Yeah.
So it kind of opens a gateway, I guess, if you will, for you if you've never seen it, which if you're a horror fan and you've never heard or watched Creepshow, that's insane to me. But, you know, hey, there are probably some of you out there. So, yeah, I love this movie and I love all the Creepshow stuff. Andrew, any final thoughts?
Yeah, watch Creepshow.
All right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I feel like it's if you don't want to watch it, then you fucking leave.
It's a perfect thought to end on. Perfect thought.
Don't
indeed.
Like it? Fuck off.
Yeah, don't like it? Fuck off.
Don't like it?
Creepshow's
you.
Great.
Yeah.
We should do Southbound next.
Southbound would be a good one to do. We could do that.
I'll write that.
But, yeah, so if you guys are interested in following what we have to say on social media, here's where you can find us on the following platforms. On YouTube or Facebook, you can just search for America's Hometown Horror. On Twitter, you can find us at Hometown Horror. On Instagram, you can find us at Hometown Horror Pod, and you can also shoot us an email at hometownhorrorpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find this show on wherever you get your podcasts, but specifically Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker,
YouTube
also, and wherever the fuck else you get your podcast. My name is Mike. Thanks again for listening to another episode of America's Hometown Horror. I am joined by my co-hosts, Andrew and Kat. Thank you guys so much for your contributions, as always.
See you later, you fucking creeps.
Adios, muchachos.
Say goodbye to your listeners.
Creep off.
Adios.
Bye. Hey everyone, it's Mike from America's Hometown Horror, and just wanted to say thank you again for listening to another episode of our show, because of course, we would be nothing without you listeners. If you are interested in more local Plymouth podcasts, I would highly recommend you check out some shows by our cohorts on the Inebriart Podcast Network. That's right, the Inebriart Podcast Network, folks. In addition to America's Hometown Horror, you can find the Inebriart Podcast, Bar Talk, Theme Park Legends, Retro Redoctopus, and Old Colony Cast. Head on over and give them a listen.